It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
You want a shot at playing in late October?
You got to start talking now.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show
with Kyle Seeloff,
driven by AutoNation,
is on 940 Wins,
Miami Sports.
All right. Well, happy to be back. Thanks for tuning in to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, driven by AutoNation. Tuesday, the 2nd of February. I'm Kyle Seeloff, former Marlin and All-Star, not me. Gabby Sanchez is with us for the full hour tonight as well. Look, we've got a lot to talk about. There is no shortage of baseball news right now, good, bad, somewhere in between. Gabby, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a crazy – 2020 was crazy. Let's just put it that way in so many ways, and hopefully 2021 starts off good. Hopefully the season starts on time and we get to start getting to baseball soon.
How are you in the family? How's the off season?
Everybody's been good. A lot of traveling. I ended up buying a travel trailer. The wifey said, hey, kids are doing remote school anyways, learning. How about we get a travel trailer?
And pile in, folks.
Let's just head off.
Where'd you guys go?
North Carolina a lot. We visited basically up the coast, the East Coast. We went to North Carolina, South Carolina. We went to Virginia. Went to different KOAs, which is like a camping site to where you get in. And it's real nice just because everybody stays safe. Everybody's separate. So it was a really good time. The kids had a lot of fun, a lot of camping, a lot of exploring.
A lot of s'mores.
A lot of s'mores. Not for me. I made them and then I gave them. I'm trying to cut the weight back.
Who cooks, mom or dad?
I do.
Do you?
I'm the cook. I'm the chef.
Always have been?
Always have been.
Do you have a favorite meal you can prepare?
I can prepare a lot, actually. I'm pretty skilled.
Grill master.
Everything. I went vegan for about 7 weeks with the wife. She wanted to go try vegan, and we did that. So that was fun. That was getting together and learning how to cook vegan. So it was a lot of fun.
2020 was crazy. And we are on the heels of the 2021 Major League Baseball season. Mentioned there is no shortage of baseball news. In the last couple of days, you see Major League Baseball, and then you see the Players Union going back and forth. As of last night, the Major League Baseball Players Association has rejected an offer from Major League Baseball, and Major League Baseball has instructed all 30 teams to prepare to report to spring training on time, to start the 162-game schedule on time, pending that they can agree on health and safety protocols. Gabby, as a former player, how do you prepare? Because you still get the sense that this is in flux and a little uneasy feeling.
Well, the first thing that you do is you talk to whoever is that representative on your team. So usually it's that veteran guy who's been there a long time. When I was playing, it was Wes Helms with the Marlins. You know, a veteran guy who's been there for a while, and he's really the one that would talk with MLB and talk with all the guys to see really what was going on. And then basically from there, you kind of get the info from the representative that the team has picked to fill that spot.
So he just kind of addresses people in the clubhouse. Is that because you always see like the association has voted no, and obviously that needs to trickle down from representatives to all the players. So that's kind of how that works?
Yeah, so the representative will say, hey, this is what we're going to vote on. We have a team meeting, a players meeting. Everybody comes in and says, hey, this is what we're thinking. This is what we got going on. We're going to take a vote. You know, nay, yay, what do we got? Everybody comes together. It's one vote. So if if 15 people said no and 20 said yes, hey, the yes got it, and that's what we're going to say as a team, and that's what we're putting out there. And then everybody kind of goes together, okay, hey, we're good with that because it's a team, and that's what it is. And what's going on right now is, you know, Major League Baseball will say, hey, we want to take 8 games off, expanded playoffs, send it to the players. The players say, no, we want to play 162. We're used to it. We want to do that. Of course, safety is a big thing. Guys themselves, they want to make sure that they're being safe, so they want that safety protocol. But at the end of the day, they want to actually play every single game that's there. So to get ready for spring training, you're basically getting ready the whole entire offseason anyways. So guys are still training. Now, the only difference is if all of a sudden the season gets moved back a month, did I train too early because now I'm peaking too early? You want to basically go into spring training and still going that upward momentum where you're still working out, you're still training, you're still doing your baseball work so that when spring training ends, getting into the season, you're at 100%. What you don't want to do is peak too early in spring training because then all of a sudden you start going downhill. That's where you get some injuries. That's where guys get fatigued and tired. You know, pitchers with their arms, they get, you know, sore arms. So you kind of have to pick and choose. So as a player, it's hard because now you're looking at the situation going,
correct,
is the season going to start really on time, or is this going to be somewhat what happened last year to where we say we're going to start on time, we get there, and then now all of a sudden you push it back on us?
So I love your opinion and input on this, especially from a former player's perspective, because I do sit. You're driving your car, and I have found myself try to be rational about the whole situation, because it can be very hard when you see other leagues playing and then you see two sides fighting over something. But I sit there and I think, well, if I was a player, I understand their side. You don't want to get pushed back a month because then you have prepared for the grind that begins in February and you don't know physically how that's going to affect you. And then I find myself thinking, and then I totally understand from the league side, well, health and safety officials had to have advised us to push things back a month. We believe more vaccines can be rolled out. The league had said, we'll pay you for 162 if you play 154. The Players Association is saying, you know, well, we just don't agree because we just don't think it favors us. So I do think, as a baseball fan, but trying to be rational about it, I know there's anger out there, Gabby, but I do see how it is hard to come to an agreement on something when two sides feel so passionate about what they are presenting.
Yeah, well, as a player, what I was, and then now I'm, in a different area, but as a player, you're looking at that saying, okay, we've been playing 162 every single time.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, last year, of course, we didn't play 162 because of what happened with COVID. And then now, all of a sudden, you're taking away games. As a player, you're looking at that going, wait, is that trend going to continue? Is every single year we're going to get less and less games? Well, we don't want that as a player and as a players' union. We want the 162 because if we start to give away games, what's not to say that those games are going to continue to go down and down and down
right from
here on out? So as a player, that's what they're fighting for. They're saying, no, we want to play the 162.
Right.
Now, on from this end, you're looking at it saying, well, guys, it's for safety. It's not really taking away games. It's just the less games you play, the less games that you're out there doing stuff, the less that you have the ability to catch, you know, COVID or catch whatever's going out there. So there's that push and pull.
And then the player side goes, well, we did it safely last year within reason. So, again, I do think if you try to take a step back and try to see it from both sides, when you come to the middle, I can see why there is just no agreement. And at some point, push comes to shove, and they say, okay, we've just got to go play. So I just it is hard. It is difficult. Following this season, a lot of people think that the collective bargaining agreement going into next year is going to be nasty and it could be ugly, and it might be. But I do think cooler heads will probably prevail. And again, as of in the last 24 hours, it's worth mentioning again, Major League Baseball, not the union, not the Players Association, Major League Baseball and the owners have instructed all the clubs. Everybody is aware, as of right now, you're going to report on time, and we're going to play a 162-game season. And what comes of that, will there not be the designated hitter? Will there or will there not be an expanded postseason? That stuff can probably be negotiated here in the next couple of months. So looking forward to a full season, but you still get the sense we'll see how it plays out these next couple of weeks.
Well, I think the biggest thing is going to be what happens during spring training. If guys in spring training are being smart, and they're not going out, they're not doing things to put themselves at risk, because they're not only putting themselves at risk, they're putting the team at risk when they're going out. They go out, they catch something, they come to the ballpark, they're getting everybody, because those symptoms don't show up either one day to the next. So you can infect 15, 16 people like what happened with the Marlins, and then all of a sudden,
Gabby,
what are you going to do?
And it's spring training.
And it's spring training.
There's 45 non-roster invitees. We've got 75, 80 guys in a clubhouse for the first 10, 11 days.
And if those things happen and all of a sudden you start seeing those COVID happen during spring training, then I do see that getting pushed back. I do see them saying, well, now we got to hold off
right. Because
you can't have two or three teams that now have, you know, COVID protocols because of what happened. So I really do feel like spring training is going to be that tell whether or not the guys are being smart. They're being, right. You know, helping one another out. Hey, let's be smart, guys. This is our job. We're going out there to play, and that's our job. Let's do that. Let's stay safe. Keep everybody safe. Because if that happens, then I think the season will start on time, and there won't be any problems. On the flip side, if it doesn't happen, that's where I think the league has said, that's fine. We can start off at 162, but safety has to come into play. And I think that's their way to be able to say, we're going to push it back if all of a sudden we do have these COVID cases.
I think you're dead on about spring training. And I should mention, even though there's 60, 70 guys in camp and then minor leaguers start to filter in, obviously with health and safety protocols, I'm sure everybody's going to be 6 feet apart. There might be portable pop-up air-conditioned tents with lockers and everything. But the point remains, for the first 2 weeks of spring training and then minor league camps report, there's 150, 200 guys playing baseball, swinging bats, and playing catch every day. So spring training is going to be ginormous. And there's been no indication 30 teams are going to have 250 guys in a bubble. I mean, financially, that's unreasonable. So, excellent point. I mean, spring training is going to be a huge teller. We've got a break in a couple of minutes, Gabby. Here's one for you from a player's perspective and a physical perspective I was thinking about. Go back 2 years, 2019, full 162-game grind. You guys prepare your bodies throughout the course of the offseason to play 162 games. Obviously, we know everything that transpired in 2020. What risk are guys at physically this year? And I don't mean to start the season, because I think everybody will be fine. But if you've gone almost two full years without playing 162 games, what happens to these guys' bodies in July and August this year when their body isn't used to, well, here's game 85, here's game 90, it's 95 and humid outside? I wonder if we're going to see sore elbows, hamstring pulls. You can do as much conditioning and work as you want in the offseason, and you might be in peak physical performance, but you don't know how your body's going to react almost 2 years later at game 90.
Oh, you're definitely going to have a lot of pitchers with what they call dead arm. That's going to happen. It will happen.
Yeah.
It's funny because you train the whole entire offseason. Guys are lifting weights. You're doing 400-pound squats. You're doing, you know, 300-pound chest. You're doing all these weights. You're doing everything. And every single year, the first time that you put those cleats on and you just go out there just to shag.
Right.
You're just shagging balls. You're not even doing much. You're just shagging. The next day you wake up and you go, what just happened? Why am I sore?
Really?
All I did was just shag. And it just happens because it's a different thing.
It's like baseball shape. You hear that a lot.
It's baseball shape. You have to get back into that baseball shape because during the offseason, yeah, you may have hit and swung 100 times. But then during spring training, you're swinging way more than that. So there's little things that happen during offseason to once you start that it's going to hurt, that you will feel those pains and you will feel that. Now, you're playing 162 games. You're used to it. You're doing it every single year. You know this is when we're starting. This is when we're ending. And then this is when I start my offseason program. Well, the guys from last year, they played a limited number of games. They didn't play much. Their offseason workouts, they took it to the same way. But now all of a sudden you might have felt a little bit fresher because you didn't play as many games. So now you go into the offseason, you hit the weights a little bit harder, you're doing a lot more, but now all of a sudden your body's not used to that. Your body's used to you taking it slow. Now all of a sudden you're ramping it up harder because, hey, I'm not feeling that bad. I played 60 games. It's not 162. So your body itself, you feel stronger. Now your workouts change. You get that. So I feel like you might see guys coming in a little bit stronger, a little bit harder, you know, faster and quicker. But did they peak too early?
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how bodies react this summer if we're 90 to 100 games into this thing with 2 months left and it's hot outside and you're not used to this because you haven't played this 162-game schedule in a year and a half. 2 years. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out. If you're ready to buy a car If you are, you can get New Year's savings now at AutoNation. And if you're ready to sell your car, AutoNation makes it as easy as ABC. A, any AutoNation store. B, bring in your car. C, get a check on the spot. They're going to buy your car, whether you buy theirs or not. You'll get a check on the spot in as fast as 30 minutes. You can turn it into cash right now. Sell your car fast at AutoNation. Visit AutoNation.com. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation, right here on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff, driven by AutoNation, is on 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
Alongside Gabby Sanchez, I'm Kyle Seeloff. Welcome back to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app. Make sure you experience opening day live at Marlins Park with the Marlins opening day bundle starting at just $65. You can build that bundle and get tickets to three games, including opening day 2021, plus your choice of a Marlins cap, including floral options. They look pretty darn good. Make sure you visit marlins.com/bundle. Back here on the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, Gabby, we talked about everything that has transpired in baseball over the course of the last couple of weeks. And as we sit here and talk right now, we anticipate spring training and the regular season starting on time. Now we turn our attention to the 2021 Miami Marlins. And I think, especially last week, hearing Kim Ng, Marlins general manager, reiterate once again that this season is about development. This is going to be year four of a process in which Bruce Sherman, Derek Jeter, and now Kim Ng are trying to guide this ship and put this organization in a position where it's just not one year of success, and they've talked about it. It's sustainable success. And I don't necessarily think, and I also think there's a misconception, Gabby, that with development coincides with losing. And I want to make it very clear that the organization has the expectation that these guys are going to go out there and they're going to have an opportunity to win every single night. But what do you think when you hear, and do you agree that this year is all about development? You have got to find out. They have built the top five farm system in baseball. You got to find out this year what you have.
Well, I mean, it's always about development. When you're talking about a team, especially a younger team, of course each year is about development because those guys need to get better. They haven't really played out there. You look at Jazz Chisholm coming up last year, getting handful of games, being out there to showcase what he can do, you know, getting that jitters out of the way so that he can play, coming into spring training in a different mindset. You had a lot of different guys in that same boat. But at the end of the day, that development doesn't mean that, oh, we're just putting out a team there to lose. They've got some really good young players alongside of veteran players who are able to help them out, just like you saw last year with Jesus Aguilar keeping that, you know, clubhouse and that dugout, you know, happy and having fun. You have Miggy Rojas, the captain of the team, going out there, making sure that everybody is in the right place, doing the right thing. So you do have those guys who are able to teach, and I think it's a good core of older guys to help out those younger guys. But development leaves the door when you're out there on that field, because you need to see what you can do on that field and whether or not you can be on that field and be that Major League Baseball player that the whole entire organization thinks that you can be, and the fans as well who are looking at you, who saw those bright spots last year, you know, going out there. Lewin Diaz at first base, in my opinion, probably one of the best defensive first basemen that I have seen in a long time. That's like a Derek Lee down there as a first baseman. Now, can his bat match what his defense can match? I think it can, but he has to show it on that field. So development comes to a certain point to where, yeah, you develop, but you still got to go out there. You still got to prove that you can play on that baseball field and you can play and win ball games together as a team.
Yeah. So a couple of things. It's going to be about development, and I think there's layers to this, because number one, when you hear Kim say that, that means these guys are going to get an opportunity. And that doesn't mean if you go 0 for 4 one night, everybody's going to be on the same page. Donnie is going to be well aware in terms of what they're looking to do and what they need to find out, that just because X player goes 0 for 4 tonight, he's not on my lineup card tomorrow night. When you talk about a 22-year-old ball player, I believe you could legitimately at some point this year, because they need to find out what they have. I'll throw this at you. Jesus Sanchez in right field, Jazz Chisholm at second, Lewin Diaz at first. That's 33% of your lineup card, right? And a part of development, and you could certainly speak to this because every player goes through it. Part of that development is how do they handle adversity? Do we have a player who just struggled for 14 games? He's hitting 078, but can he make the necessary adjustments to dig out of it? That's how you find out. That doesn't, you know, if as a fan, you're going to say, my goodness, this guy stinks. He's never going to make it. And it's great if he goes and hits 350 and he becomes a Hall of Famer. But if you have an actual legitimate big leaguer, you got to find out what some of these suckers are made out of when they hit, when the going gets tough a little bit.
So here's the thing. As a player going in, my rookie year, right, you're going in there, you're playing, you're doing your stuff, and all of a sudden you hit that streak to where all of a sudden you start to struggle. Slump, as some people might call it, right? Now, Donnie is looking at that same player. What adjustments is he making at that plate? Now, is he going 0-for-4 but had four really good at-bats?
All right.
Did he make contact, you know, twice in that game that was hard contact to where he's showing that he's doing the right things? He's just not getting lucky. He's just hitting the ball right at him, you know, hitting the atom bombs, as we call it. Those are the things that you have to see. Now, if a guy is completely lost and he's swinging out of everything and you can see that he's putting that pressure on, that's where Donnie steps in and says, okay, hey, let's take a breather. Let's take a break. This is not that you're leaving the team. This is not that you're getting set. I just need you to take a breather. Because the last thing that you want to do to especially those young guys is put that pressure in their minds of where if I don't get a hit today, I don't play tomorrow. And that's the thing that I don't see Donnie doing at all. I think spring training is going to be the biggest thing, especially for a lot of these young guys. Because if they go to spring training and they win their spot, well, guess what? They won their spot. And Donnie's going to give them every single opportunity to stay on that field and do it. Now, if you're hurting the team offensively and defensively, that's a different story.
Correct.
But if you're still helping out the team defensively and right now you're just struggling hitting-wise, you can do something about that. You go to the cage more. You work with them. You try to give them little tricks, little tinkets here and there of, hey, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And you kind of coax them into getting back on track. Biggest thing is, if that offense goes into defense or that defense goes into offense. So there's those big things, especially with those young players looking over your shoulders, looking into that coach's office to say, is this the day that I'm getting sent down because I haven't been producing or I haven't been playing?
How important is this for the psyche of a player? Were you ever in a position in your career, especially when you were young? Because you mentioned, my goodness, I just went 0-for-4 tonight. A ground ball the second and three strikeouts on about 9 pitches, where you didn't know if you were going to be in the lineup the next day or not, or did you have a great manager that communicated, listen, Gabby, I don't care what you do for the next week, my man, you're going to get run out there every single game. I would imagine for somebody in the big leagues that is just trying to get their feet wet, can't even tie their shoes yet, if you know you're back in tomorrow night, that's got to be the weight of the world off your shoulders.
Oh, absolutely. So in 2012, it happened. Ozzy was the manager, and I was struggling. I started off struggling. First month was kind of, you know, I was hitting balls well. It was right at people. And then, you know, you start to press a little bit too much. You start trying to do too much. And you're kind of out of character of who you are as a player. And all of a sudden, it was, oh, we're not going to play you today because of this guy. And we're not playing you today because of this guy. And then all of a sudden, you're not getting those reps. And then now mentally, you're beating yourself up because of that. You know, I have a great story with Coughlin, his rookie year. His rookie year, his first 2 months, he was hitting 160. I mean, he was god-awful.
Yeah,
he was looking terrible. And then all of a sudden, they came to him and said, listen, we don't care if you hit 100 for the rest of the season. You are playing every single game.
It's huge.
Stop looking into the coach's office to think that you're getting sent down. You are not. You're playing every single game. What happened from there?
Yeah.
He got that confidence and said, okay, I'm going to take that pressure off of me trying to do too much. And then he ends up and wins the rookie of the year. So that does mentally. I mean, baseball is a mental game. If you're headstrong and you're out there and you're good, you're going to be successful. Once you start to overthink yourself, once you start to doubt yourself, that's when it plays. So with these young guys that the Marlins do have, it's how are you able to basically corral them and get them to understand that, hey, it doesn't matter. We're going out there. You're going to play. Try to give them that confidence of you're going to be playing. We want you to just be your best. do your best, and that way they're able to perform at a higher level.
Yep. A year in which will be filled with development. The organization has got to know what they have in some of these guys. They have a top five consensus farm system throughout baseball. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. And we're going to know a lot more come the end of the 2021 season about what the Marlins might have with some of these prospects. Much more on the roster. We're going to break it down when we come back. You're listening to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff, driven by AutoNation, is on 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
Welcome on back to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins and the iHeartRadio app. Alongside Gabby Sanchez, I'm Kyle Seeloff. Good to have you aboard for the hour tonight. We'll wrap up right around 6 o'clock. Don't forget, if you're ready to buy a car, you can get New Year savings right now at AutoNation. And if you're ready to sell that car, AutoNation's going to make it as easy as ABC. Any AutoNation store, just bring in your car. You'll get a check on the spot. They're going to buy your car, whether you buy theirs or not. Get a check on the spot in as fast as 30 minutes. You can turn it into cash right now. Sell your car fast at AutoNation. Visit AutoNation.com. Good to have you with us tonight. And Gabby, as we look ahead towards this roster in 2021, we just spent a good chunk of time talking about development, prospects that were probably going to get an opportunity to see and see a lot of in 2021. On the flip side of that, and we'll weave in and out of this a little bit, the National League East is going to be stacked. So on top of development, I think you would agree the Marlins are going to take what they feel is the best team out of spring training to give it a run at the National League East. I mean, it's got to be the best division in baseball.
For me, it's definitely the best.
And that's hard to do. That's tricky to do all this.
It's very tricky. And the reason why is because you do have a younger team. You got these young guys who are going to be coming up, who are going to really get out there and really be playing their first full season in baseball, which is a lot different than just playing a 60-game set. 162, once you get into that August, September, your body gets tired if you're not used to doing that. And a lot of these guys aren't used to those 162 games. So it's going to be interesting to see, one, when they get those breaks, and two, who does come out of spring training. You know, you're looking at second base when you got Jazz. You know, you got different guys who are going up for that position. Who's going to be the one to spark it? Who's going to be the one to come out? You got Eason Diaz going up against Jazz, for me, in my opinion, at second base. Is Eason going to be able to come out and basically beat out Jazz, or is Jazz going to beat out Eason? Like, there's so many guys in so many little positions here that I see that it's going to be an interesting, fun spring training so that to basically see what kind of team you're going to be taking into the season.
No doubt interesting and fun. And I think there's a general understanding, not among us, but among the players that are about to report to Jupiter. And you would certainly be able to speak a lot better to this, Gabby. But I'm sure you went into spring trainings before where 7 of the 9 positions, like, yeah, he's our opening day guy. Get your work in. Show us what you got. Go to AAA. If he gets hurt, you're coming up. I think there's an understanding here that take Jazz and Eason, for instance. Like, you have spring training, and you have 50 at-bats to prove to us that you belong on the big league roster and our starting second baseman on opening day. There's nothing here to me outside of a couple of positions. There's going to be a lot of really healthy competition, and spring training legitimately is going to be a place where it's going to be a proving ground to see who makes this roster.
So going into spring training, especially after you got a couple years in that you already know that you have a spot, you're going into spring training to just basically work your way
right
into the
get
season.
Your work in.
You're just getting your work in. There were so many spring trainings that I would go up there and I would be taking strikes the whole entire time. One, I just wanted to see the ball. I wanted to take that at bat, you know, and basically create a longer at bat. That way I got to see more pitches. I didn't want to go up there and just swing at the first pitch.
Right.
But when you're fighting for a job, you're swinging at that first pitch because especially early on in spring training, you know that you're going to probably get a cookie in that first couple pitches and you want to be ready to hit. When you already have solidified that job, it's different. Guys are taking their at-bats in a different way than the younger players are. A lot of guys here, I mean, for me, I mean, I've said it before, I think Eason really hurt himself last year. you know, opting out and then basically opting back in at the end of the season. I think he hurt himself because if he would have been able to be there, he would have played those 60 games. He would have been going into spring training with a little bit different chip on his shoulder.
Maybe a little edge.
A little edge. I've got this. You know, yeah, this young guy's coming up, but I've already proven what I've done in the big leagues and I can do that. Well, he didn't have that last year. He basically lost a season. So having Jazz come in, now you're in a competition. So now your spring training is going to be a lot different than it probably would have been, because now you've got to go up there and you have to produce in spring training. If you're not producing in spring training in the beginning and the other guy is, he will win that spot. And then now you're going to be on the back end looking, okay, now what do I do? Do I have to go down to AAA? Am I going to be the backup? Am I going to be this utility player now in a different role to basically try to get back into that lineup to become that starter again? And that's a lot harder to do when you've all of a sudden lost that job. I mean, it's got to be, you know, a catastrophic drop where right. a guy just does not do well, and then all of a sudden you get plugged back in.
Let's break it down a little bit. I'm going to throw 10 names at you. Garcia, Blyer, Bass, Hoyt, Holloway, Brigham, Castano, Detweiler, Neidert, and Simber. Neidert and Castano maybe fighting for rotation jobs. Right now, those 10 names is the Marlins' bullpen. And I've heard a lot of, why didn't they go get Liam Hendricks? Why didn't they get Brad Hand? What about Archie Bradley? You might not see the gaudy names here, and I said this last week, but what you have is experience. And when I look at the Marlins' bullpen, I see guys that have proven themselves, that know how to throw strikes. Kim Eng said they're still looking for another arm. How do you feel about the bullpen?
I like the bullpen. I liked the bullpen last year. I thought they had a really good shutdown 7-8-9 guy. And, yeah, of course, you lost Kinsler, or Kinsler's still out there. Maybe they bring him back.
Well, that could be the other arm.
Who knows? That could be another arm that they're bringing back in.
Yep.
We don't know. But when you're looking at the team, you got guy Yimi Garcia, in my opinion, was the best bullpen guy that you got out there. Can he be that closer that you're looking for? You got Anthony Bass, who you just finished
signing. My guess is they're thinking Garcia, at least going into spring, unless he proves them wrong, he's got to be the closer in my mind.
I would say that, too. I would say that you're probably in that same position with you. I think Yimi Garcia right now has the edge to be that closer. Then you got Anthony Bass, who just finished signing. Can he be that eighth inning or closer guy?
He had a really good year.
He had a very good year. So now you can flip-flop, too. If all of a sudden one starts to get a little bit tired, you can put Bass in the closing role, Yimi Garcia. You got Hoyt, who did outstanding last year. So for me, you what you need is your starter to go those six innings. You know, like that to me is the main thing.
That's huge.
Can your young guys, can your Sandys, can your Sanchez, can those guys go seven? Can Pablo go six, seven innings consistently? They have the talent. They have the stuff to be able to do it. Because once they get to that point and now you have guys who are able to go into that seven, these are some tough pitchers that you have here. You know, you got your Blyers coming in for those lefties. You know, I feel like they still have the three rule where you have to face the three batters.
Correct. Three batter minimum. Yep.
So you that kind of plays a little bit. But with the bullpen that they have, if they don't go out and get somebody else, I think they're still in a very good position.
And all indications point, Kim saying that they're still on the market for another arm. So whoever the other arm is, that would elude me to at least believe that it's going to be somebody with experience and somebody they trust. She said, our goal is to find strike throwers. I know folks don't see the gaudy name up there, the big signings this winter, but I still feel pretty good about the bullpen. Now the starting pitching. My first question for you, Alcantara, Pablo Lopez, Sanchez, Rogers, Eliezer, Castano, Garrett, Castano, bullpen, starting rotation, Neidert in the mix too. First, how do you feel about the starting rotation?
I feel like it's a nasty starting rotation. You got Sandy out there who's throwing 97, 99 mile an hour sinkers that are just sinking out of the way, heavy baseball. Guys don't like to face him. His off-speed pitches got better last year, which is why I feel like he did a lot better during the season. Pablo, again, a guy who's throwing in the mid-90s, who can throw every single pitch at you. For me, the thing with Pablo is, can he get that bulldog mentality? I think he had it in the beginning of the season. He kind of got away from him. He tried to bring it back there towards the end. Then you got Sixto going out there. And, I mean, what does Sixto have? That big 100-mile-an-hour fastball, 101, 102. with me, with him, his off-speed pitches, hopefully this off-speed season, that's what he worked on. He needs that out pitch. He needs that pitch that he's able to control to be able to get those strikeouts. A guy who's throwing 100 miles an hour, you would think that strikeout rate would go up. With him, he was more of a contact, soft contact guy, but still a contact guy. Got hurt a couple games here and there where I don't know if he was pitching, but guys started to realize what he was kind of doing. You got Trevor Rogers with that electric fastball coming from the left-hand side, throwing 95, 96. Can his off-speed develop? Those are the things. For me, it's not the fastball. These guys have it.
Right.
It was that secondary and third pitch that if they worked on it this offseason, did it get better? Because if it got better, this is one of the best starting pitchers five that you could put together. I don't even care. Eliezer Hernandez is out there throwing 90 to 92 miles an hour, and the guy is a straight out guy. He was going six innings consistently without giving up anything, having, you know, great games constantly. So can those other guys develop that secondary pitch? Sixto Sanchez, for me, is going to be that guy in this offseason. If he worked on those secondary pitches, you're going to see an explosion of strikeouts. You're going to see
he's an ace. He's an ace,
he's
if he puts it together.
One, absolutely, if you put it together. We're not even talking about the Edward Cabrera, who's down in the minor leagues, who I've heard from multiple people that he is better than Sixto Sanchez.
So here's my second question for you, because we just go through six names, all of which have a ton of team control left. I mean, this has got the fixings to be a terrific starting rotation. The one thing I have seen from this rotation, and it didn't hurt them so much in a 60-game season, Gabby, they couldn't go deep enough into games. Do you think – I'll take Anibal Sanchez. He's out there. Do you think they could use a veteran arm? Because over 162 games, if you got starter pitching that's going out there giving up a run, but they're only going four or five innings, you're gonna get killed because the bullpen's gonna just their arms are gonna fall off. Do you think they could benefit from going to get an Anibal Sanchez who, you know, is gonna throw you 115 pitches every 5 days, whether he gives up 10 runs or no runs, it keeps order. Do you see that, or do you think these guys can make a big enough jump this year? Because we don't know any restrictions or limitations on any of these guys. That's my big question mark, because I think it's got the makeup to be a great rotation, but do they need a guy to keep order every 5 days, no matter if he's great or terrible? You know he's not going to kill the bullpen.
I love Anibal. I mean, I played with him. Awesome guy. He will go out there. He will throw you 140 pitches. He will not care.
Right.
His arm will fall off.
And that's
off.
Super important, man.
It is very important. But, because I have to say this, I don't see where we can put him in this starting
or a
rotation.
Guy like that. I just thought.
No, I know.
You know what
I'm
saying?
I know what you're saying. I just don't see where you can pull a guy like that and put him here, because you need to see what these guys can do. These guys need to learn to go deeper into a game.
Totally.
And yes, if you do bring one guy in, that means you're having to take one of these guys out. And is that guy that you're bringing in better than what you're going to take out? And
right.
That's the biggest question. If you're bringing in a guy, you know, who is just one of the top pitchers in baseball, I'm bringing him in. Okay, fine. You know, hey, we're going to pitch him. He's going to be there. Sorry, young guy, you're coming out. But to just take one of these, you know, older veteran guys to come in to take a spot for a younger, I don't see that happening. I think that these young pitchers need to go out there. Sandy needs to prove that he can be that ace to throw seven innings every single time he goes out there. Pablo needs to show that he can go seven innings every single time and that he goes out there. They have the ability and they have the stuff to be able to do it. Now it's just having confidence in themselves to go out there and do that. And, of course, the other big one is if the DH comes back. Because now when the DH comes back, now you don't have to worry about your pitchers in the National League hitting. You don't have to worry about that fifth inning
right.
where it's a 1-1
right.
ball game and we got a man on second with two outs and do I pinch hit my pitcher to try to get that run? You won't have to worry about that.
Right.
So I think that also will play a big role on whether or not what's going to happen with these young pitchers to go out there and to be able to throw six. For me, they need to at least go six.
Well, and I totally agree. And I think if you just look at some of the great pitchers in today's game or the guys that have had decade-long careers, they're really good, but they have also found a way every time they take the mound, They're not a liability in terms of, my goodness, we know this could go south and he's going to be out because he can't get through the second inning. The best pitchers in today's game, Gabby, they figure out a way to labor through six innings and allow four runs and keep you in it. And they're going to tell you afterwards it was a terrible night. But I'll tell you, everybody's in there thinking, dude, that dude didn't have it, but he gave us a chance. And now we didn't have to get 18 outs from our bullpen. So I think that's huge. And here's my other thing. If we're working under the assumption that this team's going to be in contention in August and September, because there's no reason that they shouldn't be, given coming off the year that they came off of and what they're bringing back and what they're capable of doing, this is where I don't envy Kim Ng's position, because if you have limitations and restrictions on some of these young pitchers, you don't worry about the first 100 games, but what the heck's going to happen if some of these guys hit the 150 to 175 inning mark in September and you've got five starters that have been kicking butt all year long? That's going to be a predicament. That's where it's like, do you bring somebody? You know what I'm saying? That's hard.
I do. And luckily, with the farm system that the Marlins do have,
yeah, maybe that's
you're able to bring up guys to give those rest. If all of a sudden some guy starts to get that arm fatigue,
you're right,
you can put him on, you know, on the 10-day, and you're able to bring in those Braxton Garretts to throw you one or two games,
or skip a start here and there. You're right. You're
able to actually, you know, use what you have in the minor leagues to help out your big leagues, and that's what's great with the Marlins. They do have that down there. They have guys who can easily come up. Castano can come up and do that. So there's a way to be able to look at it, to be able to put pieces in to help that starting rotation. Hey, you know what? We're going to give you 10 days off. No throwing. We're going to rest your arm out. You know, light toss. You know, just do your band work.
And that stuff's probably all going to be worked out before. You know, they're not going to fly by the seam of their pants.
No, that is something that I guarantee you that they're already talking about right now. They've already gotten together to say, hey, how are we going to proceed forward? What are we going to do once we get to a certain spot? You know, each month they have certain amount of innings that we want them to throw. If they go over,
right,
then we're going to have to adjust to that. You know, maybe skip a start here and there to be able to rest that arm, because, of course, the whole entire goal is to get into the playoffs again and then go further than what you were, you know, last year. And the only way to do that is to have all these five guys starting pitching out there to be ready to go, because pitching and defense are what wins you championships. Offense wins you games, but they're not going to win you that, you know, championship. They're not going to give you that crown. That's going to be your pitching and that's going to be your defense. So that pitching needs to be solidified at that point to where everybody is basically going into, one, the season healthy, continuing the whole entire season healthy, and then hopefully there's none of these, you know, coronavirus,
correct,
where guys are getting hit, because then for Kim, that's going to be tough with having to ship out guys and make all these crazy moves.
Yeah, and we haven't even discussed that, the impacts, and that's still a very real situation. But to your point, the big umbrella that hangs over all 30 teams' head, we sit here and work under the assumption that everybody's going to be healthy. That's not always the case. We'll take one final break. When we come back, we're breaking down the offense. And boy, the National League East looks pretty darn good in 2021. You're listening to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff, driven by AutoNation, is on 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
Hey, welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app. Hey, don't forget, Home Run Rewards is offering game-used and autographed memorabilia to add to your collection all month long. You can sign up tonight, today, tomorrow, and bid your rewards points against fellow cardholders. And you can join in on the fun. Just visit marlins.com/rewards to learn more. Gabby, we've got about 3 minutes left. Quickly, your impressions on the offense. Let's tie this all together. The National League East is going to be daunting. We could do another hour on the moves that have been made and what it's going to take to win this division. The Braves are the ones people are chasing. The Mets have improved. The Phillies brought back Real Muto. Gregorius, they've added to the bullpen with Archie Bradley. The Nationals add Josh Bell. They've added more to the mix there, John Lester. So the Marlins offense coupled with the National League East, in which you play half your schedule, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And these guys are going to have a tall task because they're going to have to be facing a lot of good pitchers. Nationals got some good ones out there too. But for me, I mean, you got Anderson, who's going to be your third baseman. And he's solidified that spot. He's the one that goes into spring training saying, I'm good. I'm just going to work on my stuff. You got Miggy at short. You got Starling Marte in center. You've got a really good
Dickerson
group.
In left. Dickerson left side, left. You feel good about.
You're feeling really good about your left side. Then all of a sudden, you come to the right side. And at first base, you're going to be fine either way that they go. So
Cooper,
I think at first base, you're going to be fine. Maybe Lewin Diaz as well going over there. But to me, you know what? A guy that surprised me who I liked a lot? Magnery Sierra. You know, you saw
Dude,
what
Gabby,
he
if he
did
can stay healthy,
in the playoffs. If he can stay
it looks
healthy,
like he belongs in the big leagues, man.
I tell you
I
what,
agree
the,
with you.
The first year that I saw him play, I said, man, he's a lost little puppy out there. He looked bad.
It
he
was going 100 miles an hour.
He was 100 miles an hour on everything. He had no clue. He could not slow the game down. And then every single year, he got better and better.
I couldn't agree more.
And what he showed last year to me, I went, if that guy can go out there and do that for the season.
And he was putting the ball in play. That's a table setter.
And not only a table setter, he could steal second, third, and all of a sudden now you got a whole entire team that can run,
too. I couldn't agree more.
You got Birdie out there who can be a super utility guy who can play every single position for you, who can also steal, who's shown that he can do it. I think this team together has the opportunity, has the pieces to be able to go out there, not only compete, win and show that they are not overpowered, in my opinion, in a division that is the best in baseball.
And I just don't feel like this is us sitting here talking ourselves into a good year. I mean, you got to worry about injuries. You got to worry about this virus and everything. Of course, the Marlins know that better than anybody. You take a look at it. I feel good about the bullpen. I love the starting rotation. And the offense, I know they don't have the huge boppers, although Marte can hit it out. Dickerson can hit it out. Anderson, Aguilar, Cooper. But they're just scrappy to me, Gab. Like, they're dead. And playing for Donnie, they just go out and they don't quit.
How many times last year did we talk about it's the seventh inning and they're down by three and those
Here
guys
they come.
Are still going out there giving every. They're down
totally
by
agree.
Seven in the ninth inning and all of a sudden they're putting up four because
totally
they
agree.
Just don't give up. And when you're playing against a team that does that, as a team that's playing against one of them, you're scared a little bit because you know at any moment and any time, these guys are going to go out and they can easily put up five. And it's not going to be a five with a home run. It's going to be a double, double, double. And I mean, and it's quick and fast. I like it. I like where the team is. It's going to be an interesting, fun season.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, we're out of time. Gabby, this was a lot of fun. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thank
All
you
right.
For, having me.
For Eric Langell and Gabby Sanchez, I'm Kyle Seeloff saying so long and good night. Thanks for listening to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app.